Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Today we want to talk about when God breathes on your or my situation. When God breathes on your or on my situation. You have to complete the rest of that, but when God breathes on your situation, or when God breathes on my situation, let us pray. Father, we honor you and we praise you and we thank you. We pray thy blessings upon your word, that together we will get everything that we need for the journey ahead. We thank you right now for this time of gathering in of your people. And for the proclamation of your word. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God does not see your situation the same way you do. When we consider God as creator and read just the first chapter of Genesis, we should begin to understand that God is and will always be greater than our situation. We should realize that God has the ability to do something with and about our situation. Isn't it amazing that so many times when we clean our homes and throw stuff away or when we junk a car, that somebody else comes along and literally picks through our trash and our junk and finds treasure in it? Have you ever thrown something away and then had the privilege to see it later on after somebody else took it and fixed it up? And you're like, wow, I should have kept that. Have you ever thrown something away and then been able to see it in a thrift store? And you're like, wow. Or you throw something away and look at the antique show like I do sometimes. Say, Lord, have mercy. I wonder if what they bring in to the antique dealer is the one I threw away that was worth a couple $1,000. But because it didn't look like it was worth anything to me, I trashed it. You ever trash anybody, a person, because they didn't look like anything to you? And you just trashed them. And then somebody else came along, somebody like God came along and looked at them and found treasure in the trash. My God. There's a lot of money made on recycling. They would take my trash and make money out of it. I don't particularly care for brown paper towels in the bathroom. That made me think something else in there, but amen. But there's a lot of money made off recycling. They just getting all kinds of stuff. And just a few months ago, Scott's paper company, Scott's toilet paper, said even the roll that the paper's on is made out of recyclable material. So we need to begin to understand that everything that looks like trash may not be trash. Now, I'm not trying to say you ought to be a hoarder. I'm not trying to say you ought not put out your trash. Put trash out. Some stuff is trash. Some stuff needs to go. Put it out. Amen. Don't have your house all messed up talking about what your pastor said. I was getting ready to get delivered for being a junkaholic, but then my pastor preached this message about recycling. And no, let it go, let it go. But they literally find treasure in our trash. And you know why? It's simply because they have a different perception of that same item. They could see it becoming something. We were finished with it because it no longer had the use that we probably had it for, but somebody else came along and said, I could see this becoming something. I wonder how many of us look in the mirror at ourselves and say, you know, in Christ, I could see myself becoming something. I don't look like much today. I don't feel like much today. But if God could just get his hands on me, if I would just surrender and release myself to God, I think I could become something. And with that in mind, let me just read you what my Bible says about this universe that we live in, that God created. It says that the simple statement that God created the heaven and the earth is one of the most challenging concepts confronting the modern mind. The vast galaxy we live in is spinning at the incredible speed of 490,000 miles an hour. But even at this breakneck speed, our galaxy still needs 200 million years to make one rotation. And there are over 1 billion other galaxies in the universe. It has been said that the number of stars in creation is equal to all the grains of all the sands on all the beaches of all the world. Yet this complex sea of spinning stars functions with remarkable order and efficiency. To say that the universe just happened requires more faith than to believe that God is behind these amazing statistics. God truly did create a wonderful universe. And I know when you go to school, they want to talk about the Big Bang Theory and the Gap Theory and the Darwinian Theory. They can talk about those theories all they want. But the truth of the matter is God created the universe. And in order for you to pass that class, students, you're going to have to tell them what they say. But you don't have to believe it. Just tell them what they say, you know. Whatever they said about Darwin, this is what you said about Darwin. But I have another thought in my mind. Now, suppose you and I, as ourselves, not as God, were able to see what God saw before he began to create. What was it that he saw when the writer wrote the book of Genesis? Let us take a closer look at these verses to see what God sees before he creates. What is the situation? Genesis 1 verse 2 says, when God looked at the earth, he saw three things. When he looked at the earth, before it became the earth, he saw three things. He saw an earth without form. Number one, he saw an earth without form. Number two, he saw an earth that was void. And number three, he saw an earth covered by darkness. Number one, an earth without form. Number two, an earth that was void. And number three, an earth covered by darkness. I read that. I said, well, he ain't seen nothing. No form, void and dark. Something you and I would have put on the trash. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Number one, an earth without form. In Hebrew, that word is tohu. And it means formless, empty, useless, nothing, wilderness. That's what he saw. But God looked out. That's exactly what he saw. He saw an earth without form. He saw something that was formless, empty, useless, nothing, something like a wilderness, an earth without form. Then number two, he saw an earth that was void. In Hebrew, this word is bohu, means empty, desolate, and total chaos. This is what God is working with. Something formless, empty, useless, nothing, and something totally empty, desolate, in a state of chaos. This is what God is looking at. Now, think about that. He's looking out, and this is what he sees. And then thirdly, an earth covered by darkness. In Hebrew, that word is hosek, which means dark, black, gloom, obscure. That sounds like, to me, capital N-O-T-H-I-N-G. How many of you were walking Macy's during this Christmas season and buy you something formless, void, dark, black, obscure, empty, desolate, in a state of total chaos, and say Merry Christmas? This is what God is looking at. He's in the process of beginning to create. It has nothing in my mind to create with. But just like the person that sees treasure in your trash, God looked at this nothingness and said, if I can get my hands on it, it can become something. Yes. Oh, that's what he said. And it blew my mind that as you continue to read the book of Genesis, that he actually made man out of nothing. He saw human beings coming out of this formless, empty, desolate state of total chaos, dark, black, gloomy, obscure mass of mess. Now, there's a lot of theories about how this happened. We don't even have time to even begin to cover the theories. One theory was that there was some kind of cataclysmic or chaotic something going on when God kicked Satan out of heaven, then when he went down and brought the angels with them, they just tore up everything. A lot of theories about that, but we're going to begin with the fact of what God saw. What is it that God sees in all this nothingness? Something that you and I would probably not look at twice. And if we could grab it and get a hold of it and put it in a glass trash bag, we would kindly throw it away. Put it right on the curb. Or get one of those trucks called Junk It. And just say, come on, get this mess. I can't do nothing. This is a bunch of mess. I can't do nothing with it. It don't look like nothing. It doesn't seem like it ever be anything. I don't know what to do with it. I have no use for it. I have no perception of it ever becoming anything. And sadly, some of us look at ourselves, and that's the perception we have of ourselves. We don't see ourselves becoming anything because somebody always done told you what you were not going to be. They didn't give you the time of day. They wouldn't give you an opportunity. They wouldn't give you a privilege. But I come to let you know that God is greater than that situation. God is greater than that person that's talking all that negative things to you. And you got to understand, if you just let God breathe on your situation, things are going to be all right. You need the breath of God on your situation. That's what you really need. I know you've been here, you've been there. You know this person, you know that person. And you know how to go here, you know how to go there. You know how to drink this kind of tea, you know how to take this kind of pill. You know how to read this kind of book. You know how to yoga, you know how to meditate. You know how to exercise. You know how to eat right. You know how to breathe. You know how to do all that. But you need God's breath on your situation. But what does God in his creative sovereign will, what is he going to do? Well, create in Hebrew means bara, means to create from nothing. And it also means to reform existing materials as create in me a pure heart. But for this message, we're going to deal with the first definition. Bara means to create from nothing. That's when people start talking about all these people that don't believe in God and they atheists and everything. And they begin, one atheist talking about, I'm going to make me this. The man says, no, you can't make that. He said, why? And I said, because you're going to have to use something that my God made. No, you're going to make your own. Go get your own dirt. Go make your own dirt. How you going to make something? You don't believe in God, and you're going to use something my God made to make what you're going to. No. Go make your own stuff you need to make what you want to make. Because everything that exists, my God made it. So if you don't believe in God, wait, you ought to disappear right now. What does God do with a seemingly nothingness situation? Well, the last part of Genesis 1:2 says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God means the ruah, breath of God, breathe upon nothing. He said it breathed and moved upon the face of the water. That word face in Hebrew is Pane, P-A-N-E-H, that means the breath of God breathed on whatever it was. I need to let somebody know today that the breath of God will breathe on whatever it is. It doesn't have to change. It doesn't have to sit at attention. It doesn't have to add ease. It just stay like it is. Let it stay like it is for right now till the breath of God gets there. Breathe. The ruah, breath of God, breathe upon the face of the waters. What do you mean? But when you begin to finish reading Genesis 1, you see the power of the breath of God. The breath of God is the Spirit of God. The ruah, the wind of God, breathed upon the face of the waters. And what happened? When God breathed upon the face of the waters on the first day, light. Don't forget it was formless, void, and dark. But on the first day, light. So now there's light and darkness. God got a thing called night and day going on just by breathing. Spirit of God came in and just breathed. Oh, my God. My God. On the second day, what did he do? Spirit of God breathing on the face
of the waters, then all of a sudden you got sky and water.
God just breathing. And as he breathed on nothing, it became something. Because he's God, he's Bara. He can create from nothing. Somebody called me nothing. You were zero. I said, thank you. I know where to take my zero. I know where to take my nothing. Take it right to God. God, they said I was nothing. I need you to breathe on me, God. After you get finished crying and cussing and fussing, as you finish crying and fussing and getting upset with folk and feeling all down and out and need an upper, you know. On the third day, because God breathed on nothing, we got sea and earth. Because the waters gathered together. Now we got sea and earth on the third day. On the fourth day, Spirit of God still breathes. See, God's not done yet. See, God won't just breathe on you one time. He'll breathe on you as much as you want him to breathe on you. On the fourth day, you got sun, moon, and stars. My God. On the fifth day, you got fish and birds. Fish to fill the water. And the birds to fill the sky. Then on the sixth day, you got animals to fill the earth. And then you got man and woman to care for the earth and continue with God. And on the seventh day, God rested because he was pleased. We went from nothing to light, sky and water, sea and earth, sun, moon and stars, fish and birds, animals, Adam and Eve, and then God rested on the seventh day. Nothing. 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 I don't have anything, God. I'm nothing, God. I've never been anything. Nobody ever loved me, God. Nobody ever looked in my direction, God. I just feel like nothing in this great big old world. But I come to let somebody know, when God breathes on your situation, things will begin to change. It's not what you have, it's what he has for you. So many times when you go for a job or something, you got to be qualified. Oh, my God. But God said, all you got to do is just let me breathe on you. Give me your mess. Bring me your mess. Bring me your child. Bring me your tribulation. Bring me all that chaotic stuff that's going on in your life. I know you had a rough life. Ever since you've been a child, you've been going through. God said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Stop using it as a crutch. Stop using it as an excuse. Stop letting that thing speak to you all the time and making you think you can't get this, you can't become this, and you can't do this. God said, bring it to me. I specialize in nothingness. I specialize in formless, void, dark, chaoticness. I specialize in that. If you don't believe me, look at my universe. Then look at yourself. I made you in my own image. And I blew into you, which is that same word, ruah, wind. I blew into you, my breath. I didn't let somebody know where the breath of God is, there's life. See, when you're in the hospital and they check whether or not you're breathing, they want to see if you're alive. But when God breathes on you, there is life. See, we have life, but the breath of God gives life. If you got a dead situation in your life and you want that thing resurrected, let the breath of God go. It's not so much what your situation does or does not look like. It is all about who is looking at you and your situation. Who you allow to look at your situation. So many times we get so embarrassed. We keep our stuff close to the vest. We don't want nobody to know. We're suffering in silence. Because of what people feel about what we do or what we are, we feel like there's no way we can get out of it. Nobody can wants to talk to us. And God is saying, I want you to bring that to me. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I tell you, you know, if we would just give God our situation, there'd be so much Tylenol stuff left on the shelf. Oh, my God. Will you allow God to look at your situation? If you give God your life, God will breathe on your situation. Anybody tired of crying? over their situation. Tired of being up all night, tired of being all nervous and all you're preoccupied with stuff that God can handle if you just give it to Him. Stop nursing that situation and let God have it. Because God can breathe. God breathed upon the face of the water. God breathed upon nothing. My God. Stop being defined by everybody else. Stop letting everybody else define your life. Find out who you are in Christ. Give yourself to the Lord and let Him breathe on your situation. You can tell when He began to breathe, stuff started to happen. Nothing becomes something. Things begin to take on a form when God breathes. You may think you're nothing. You may believe you're nothing. You may look like nothing. But remember what God did in Genesis chapter 1. He breathed on what appeared to be to you and I nothing. And created something but something beautiful, including humanity. And we're still trying to figure it out. That's deep. God created us and we're still trying to figure it out. Folks trying to figure out how God... People still trying to figure out the human body. They still trying to figure out all that is entailed when a woman has a baby. It just blows them out. It just messes folk up. They still searching for stuff. Trying to figure out why, how the seasons change. And they got all kinds of... The meteorologists have all kinds of equipment, Dopplers and all these things, all these different weather instruments, and they're trying to tell this and to tell that, trying to figure out. They're trying to keep, they want to go beyond space. They want to take a spaceship all the way over here. Talking about, there might be life over there. There might be life over there. I say, whatever God breathes is going to be life. But we're trying to figure God out because nobody else can blow on nothing and make it something. I mean, I've seen folk take stuff. I've seen artwork made out of bottles and cans and all that. It looked pretty good. But where'd the bottle come from? Where'd the can come from? But God, He's the one that takes something that's not even existing and blows into a life and makes it exist. Won't you let God breathe on your situation before you give up and throw in the towel? Anybody here ready? Don't raise your hand. Because I'm going to take your towel from you. Let God breathe on your situation before you give up and throw in the towel. Before you start screaming and going crazy and talking about never, nothing ever happened for me in my life. Everything ought to go wrong in my life. You're lying right there. You are lying right there. You are lying. God has done it. He gave you breath. You're living. You made it to this age. You made it to this point. You get ready to celebrate Christmas. Come on. You probably ate some food this morning. See, y'all looking for the big stuff. You start thanking God for the small stuff. Who woke you up this morning? Folks, oh, there ain't nothing working out for me. Something got to be working. You look pretty doggone good, baby. Something working. Something working. Somebody working for you, okay? Stop talking yourself down. There's power and death in the life of the tongue. Stop what you're telling yourself. I can't do this. I'm not going to pass this class. I'm never going to graduate. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to find a nice man. I'm never going to find a nice woman. I'm never going to find a nice church. I'm never going to find a good job. I'm never going to find a house. Never, 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 never stop. Just stop it. You're a child of God. If God can breathe on nothing and He made me His own image, I am something. Get up out of your frustration. Get up out of your funk. We love to be in a funk. That one major thing happened, yeah, the whole world black. Yeah. Just me against the world, Pastor. See, you don't understand. You got co-pastor. You don't understand. You are already married. No, you don't understand. God can breathe on our marriage. He can breathe on your life. He can breathe on your situation. That's what you need to understand. Whatever we have, God has given it unto us because we've given ourselves to Him. Now, for those of us who are part-time Christians, nowhere in the book of Genesis did you see God breathe on half the men. I'll serve Him my way. Go ahead. What can God do with our formless void, dark nothingness? God can breathe on it, and wherever the breath of God is, there is life. Wherever the breath of God is, there is life. And there's some folk don't want you to live. Folk don't want you to go to church. Folk don't want you to know Jesus. Folk don't want you to worship Him. Folk don't want you to magnify Him. Folk don't want you to glorify Him. This folk don't want you to build the kingdom of God. They don't want you to come to church. They don't want you to give no money to church. There's some folk you live with can't understand. Why'd you bring your money to church? Why'd you give me that money so I can get drunk? That's why they mad at you because you ain't giving to them. Your money. Your money. You work for your money. They mad at you because of what you do with your money. Mad at you because you serving your God. You go to church. You serve. Did you ask them to take you to church? No. You drove yourself. You got on the bus yourself. You got your own ride to church and they mad at you. Because you can't stay home and watch the game with them. Come on, boo. Once God breathes on you, you can't go back to nothing. Oh, my God. The best is yet to come. He's not finished breathing on you. But, Pastor, He stopped breathing. That's because you didn't tell Him thank you for the last time He blew on you and blessed your life and took you up out of the muck and the mud. But the breath of God is there's life. And some folks don't want you to have no life. Some folks don't want to see you happy. Misery loves company and more company and more company. Be happy. Sometimes folks don't want to be around you if you're happy. You too doggone happy. You make me sick. You can't be that doggone happy. What are you drinking? Where do you live? Would you walk around all miserable and stuff? Oh, baby. I feel the same way you do. I'd be like, get away from me. No. If it's time to be sad, be sad. You're not going to come in my happiness and make me sad. You will come tell me a sad story. I'll say, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Cost too much to get this happiness, this joy in the Lord. You don't know what I've been through. I've been through too much. Not to worship Him. And I don't care whether you understand it or not. I don't care if you know what I've been through. I don't care if you know. I don't care if you call me stupid for having done what I did or whatever. I got a God who is forgiven. Why are you calling me stupid? Come, Lord, breathe on me. They calling me names, but breathe on my life. Breathe on my situation, God. They don't know like I know. They don't know what you promised me. They don't know what's in my heart. God is forgiving, God. All of us made mistakes. Just because you didn't make the same mistake I made don't mean I'm stupid. At least I got enough sense to get up out of it. You still stuck, baby. Got to learn how to talk to folks. Well, why are you? You go ahead. You stay stuck. I'm going to get mine. I'm going where I need to go. I'm sorry. Look. Love you. Don't want to be you. I'm out. Oh, you got to learn how to talk to folks. Don't just get mad. Sometimes you don't have to get mad with folks that say, look, I see something different. God has told me something different. I see you. I can't do this scene no more. No. This ain't helping me waking up with a bad head in the wrong bed. No, this ain't helping me. Oh, this ain't helping me. No, this ain't helping me. God going to be on your situation. That's why I say it was a chaotic state. You know, God don't, you know, some of that mess we got. And sometimes God be speaking to us while we messing around. You know you somewhere you don't need to be. And God is speaking to you, and you think it's your mama calling. You hear God's voice just playing, you start looking at your cell phone. Then you start looking all around. Then all of a sudden, wherever you are, it just don't feel right no more. The drinks taste like water. The cocaine done lumped up. The needle done bit before it even... Jeez. All of a sudden you remember you're married. No, I'm sorry, let's go on. But somebody here, as we close out, somebody needs proof. So turn with me to Ezekiel 37. Let's close this thing out. And in Genesis 2:7, when God blew into man the breath of life, that's that same breath, that same wind, that same ruah. So we got the breath of God in us, so we need the breath of God on us. Because of sin, sin separates us, so now we need the breath of God in us and the breath of God on us. Ezekiel 37. Look at verse 1. This is for somebody just feel like life is over. Almost contemplating suicide. You just want to give up. That's how rough it's been. Look, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? In other words, Son of man, do you see what I see? Like I saw in the book of Genesis, I see a mess right here, but I specialize in mess. If you consider yourself a mess today, don't give up. Listen to the message. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And see, when God causes breath to enter into you, you that's the breath of God, you shall live. You might be in a dead situation right now, it might not look right, but when God sends the message that he's ready to breathe on your life, you better, oh my God, and... He said, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you. You shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise and a shaking and bones came together. He was prophesying unto the wind. And when you prophesy to the wind is the breath of God. Ezekiel had enough to say, Lord God, I see all this mess. And he said, I don't, but you know. So whenever God tells you to tell somebody, I'm ready to breathe on your life, you need to let them know. Be their Ezekiel. Somebody came to church today, they needed to hear this message that God is not finished with them yet. God has not forgotten about them. God has not abandoned them. I know you feel abandoned. I know you feel forgotten. Get beyond your feelings and get under the breath of God. Our feelings rule us too much. Our feelings are not really our reality. Our perception sometimes is our reality, but our set perception is so off. That ruah, he said, I spoke to the wind and stuff started coming together. The breath of God came over these dry bones. You know the rest of the story. They started hooking back up. My God. I like how they were all scattered and disjointed. They were all messed up. But the wind and the spirit, the breath of God, knew which bone went where, who it belonged to. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God knows exactly what you need. He know what you left in San Francisco. So when he started putting you back together, he know you left your heart. But when God breathes on you, he knows where you left certain things of your life. And he's going to bring those things back together. And then he's going to stand you up like an almighty exceeded all. Oh yeah, you've been detached and you've been distracted. You've been over here and over there trying to do this. God said, come on in. Let me bring it all together for you. God, why do you do this? Because all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. God said, I can take all the mess I take your entire life from when you were in your mama's womb to now. If you would just give yourself to me, I could bring all that stuff together and I could breathe on your situation and I could make something beautiful out of it. Don't believe me? He said, read Genesis. Just read Genesis. You ain't got to get to chapter 2. Just read chapter 1. God breathed on your situation. And then what did he do in Acts chapter 2? In order that the church would have life. When you turn to Acts chapter 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost, verse 1, Acts 2 and 1, was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That wind again is the Ruah, breath of God, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So not only does the breath of God make something out of nothing, it gives you power to do something with the something that you got. Ah! He took you nothing, made you something. He don't want you to sit there like something. He wants you to do something with your something. Oh, Lord, have mercy. So he breathed on you. He breathed on you nothing. You nothing became something. And now you sit there with something. Lord, what am I doing with something? So in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, he gave the power of his spirit. He breathes power along with the change. So when God changed your life, he gives you power to go forth with the change. Oh, and suppose you need another change. God does not have asthma. Oh my God. The winds of God are still blowing. The winds of God are still breathing. The winds of God are still moving in your life. When God breathes on your situation, something happens. He makes your life what it should be. But don't stop there because he's not through yet. But you got to give your life and your situation to him. And don't be pulling back. Because sometimes God got to breathe a mighty wind on us. And we think we're in a whirlwind. We think we're in a tornado. We think we're in a hurricane. But some of us need that. We need to be spun around so much that when the hurricane, when the wind stops, we don't see the house we used to live in. We don't see the people we used to hang with. We don't see anything that we used to see because God wants to give us something brand new. When God breathes on your situation, when God breathes on my situation, he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But I notice that some of us are mighty afraid of a windstorm. Because sometimes when the windstorm comes, it begins to tear down stuff. It begins to destroy stuff. But that's a natural wind. When the spiritual wind comes, don't be afraid. The spiritual wind comes to knock down some stuff and to destroy some stuff. But what the spiritual wind does, the spiritual wind waits around long enough that after all that other stuff falls off, some new stuff can be built up in you. God wants to breathe on your situation. God wants to breathe on your life. He wants to breathe newness and freshness and a reality. He wants you to stop living in fantasy world. He wants you to stop depending so much on people and depend on him. Because when you depend on God, God will show you who else to depend on. Oh, glory be to God. God wants to breathe on your life. Stop making like your life is so great. Be real with yourself. Say, God, I need you. God, I've been hiding behind a lie. I've been hiding behind this old time success long enough. I got the same testimony since 1960, God. I need you to do something new in my life. Well, God says, when the last time you made yourself eligible and available for my breath so I could breathe on you? No, you got your stuff so well covered. You got it neatly in a box. You pull it out when certain people come over. But that's when you have your pity party. You pull it out because all y'all talking the same stuff. God said, get some new friends. I'm going to blow these away.
And when God begins to breathe in your life, that person that hurt you, that person that messed all over on you, what your God's going to do? He's going to say, I'm going to breathe a newness in your mind. When I get finished changing your life, you're going to go down to Hallmark and get a card and send it to him and tell him, thank you. If you had not messed over me, if you had not messed with me, if you had not treated me like I was dirt, if you had not lied to me, if you had not used me and abused me, I would have never sought God. I'm mighty glad. I didn't want to thank you at that time. I wanted to kill you. But now God has breathed on my life. Tell folk you got... I'm not accepting what you did. I just got a different viewpoint. I got a different perception now. I didn't know God was using you to catapult me into my future. I thought it was supposed to be me and you for life. But God blew in a wind of change in my life. He let me know while I'm waiting for my next, I don't have to worry about my ex. I will. God said you need somebody to go to that party with you. I go with you. I love you. You ain't got to change nothing. I made this. God wants to breathe. That's what happens in church sometimes. When the Spirit of God falls, that's the wind of God falling on the congregation. And somebody gets a change. Because God speaks through the wind. He's speaking. He's letting you know it's going to be all right. You can feel his embrace when the winds come. You can feel God embracing you, telling you, honey, I know you've been through stuff. I know you've been through a whole lot. But you've been faithful. You've been right there. You never stopped believing in me. You worship me. Glory, you read my word. You trusted me. And now it's time for your change to come. Oh, my appointed time. I'm awake till the change comes. That's what God is talking about. You sit here thinking about, can't nothing else happen in your life. God should be here today to let you know it's just beginning. It's not over. The question is, who shall believe the report of the Lord? After you get all those nasty letters, after you get all those nasty texts, after you read all those nasty emails, and they talking about you, and they don't understand you, you better go to the throne of grace and tell God. Some patience. Be still. Because even though you might go home and go somewhere else and it looks the same, it's about to change. The only thing happened, you got back there before the wind of God got. Then God might use you to be the wind. You might be able to speak something. You've been going through this stuff. You've been living like this. They've been in your house. Oh, don't give up on God. Let God breathe. Let God breathe freely. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on yourself. You somewhere sitting in the corner with your head down, embarrassed. Don't you know you got power? The power of God. The presence of God. That's it. I'm tired of Christians walking around defeated. Greater is He. Oh, you got to believe that word. It's time to stop just shouting for the car. Stop shouting just for the house. Stop shouting just for the bank account.
Just shout that your name is in the Lamb Book of Life. Shout that you know Jesus. Shout that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Shout that you're sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be so focused on heaven, you forget about the earthly blessings. Somebody outside of the church needs to see somebody in the church walking in faith, walking by faith, walking in God, walking in His presence, walking in His Spirit. We are His poster children. Let us all stand. Hallelujah. 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 When God breathes on your situation, but you got to give yourself to Him. Give your entire life to Him. Don't hold anything back. He knows everything already. You can't shock Him. You can't blow His mind. You can't mess Him up. You can't make Him go run and call a meeting because He never heard anything like this before. God already knows. And He knows, but He still sent Jesus.